Welcome to the heart. I'm Caitlin Prest. Hi, friends. It's been almost a year since we made something new on the heart. And the reason why we've been away from you for so long is because me and Phoebe and Sharon and Shawnee Aviram have been working on something new. I know we've been teasing you this whole time, being like, oh my God, it's a secret, because for half the time that we were making it, we didn't even know what it was going to be. And now, that new project that has been a secret for so long is out in the world. And I am here to give you a small taste of what that project sounds like. If you're enough of a Heart fan that you still haven't deleted it from your phone, even now, almost a year later, and you're listening to this because you just like seeing the logo in your podcast app, I'm telling you that you'll probably really like The Shadows. My hope is that after you listen to this, you'll be like, oh my God, I love this, and I'm going to subscribe immediately. Anyway, without further ado, I'm going to play the first 15 minutes of episode 1 of The Shadows. Sometimes there's a version of yourself that you don't want to admit exists. Sometimes we have a story about someone that we fall in love with. That the great ideals are the story that I read. This is The Shadows. Sometimes I wonder, the story of what love is. A story that I became enamored of. Tell stories about love. Is a story. Episode 1. I saw the real ideal. Romantic. Subject to actualize. Same way that we watch all the stories. He's fast too. I saw it feeling around of a romance. What is it that destines a love to die?
I guess I always felt like you were uncertain and that it was my job to convince us both that this was a good idea.
Is it destiny or do we have a choice?
You know, like there's always going to be problems. There's always going to be friction. There's always going to be fucked up shit, you know?
Like, where did this love story begin? Did it begin when I was born? Where I grew up, there were two choices for entertainment as a young person: hockey or heavy metal. I preferred heavy metal. The anti-establishment culture of heavy metal taught me to look at the world through a critical lens, seeing all the ways that the world was broken.
Patriarchy, colonialism, cruelty, racism, waste, conformity, hypocrisy, complacency.
And being angry about it. At the same time, I was a romantic. As a romantic, I saw beauty. I saw more than was really there. I didn't just see the color red. I saw the color red. And I believed wholeheartedly in the ideal of love. It's the era where divorce is kind of accepted as a natural cycle of love, and people who stay together seem to hate each other in the most banal ways. I believe that I'm destined to be one of the outliers. I'll be one of the ones who falls in love passionately and deeply and stays in love.
Dear Caitlin.
Forever.
Dear Caitlin.
Dear Caitlin.
Dear Caitlin.
Dear Caitlin.
When I'm not moshing at a heavy metal show, I'm dreaming of what my great love will look like and be.
I inspire you to be a good person.
I know what being good is.
It's going to be love letters every day.
I write you love letters and hide them for you to find in surprising moments.
Like the cutlery drawer or the folder where you put your unopened mail.
I support your artwork and career.
We're going to be art stars.
I play guitar for you and write songs about
you. I go to the desert with you and dance naked at dusk.
Weirdos.
I pool hop in the summers and eat pie stolen from people's windowsills.
I scale the roofs of buildings and smoke weed sitting on a chimney with you.
We will live in a house that we build with our own hands in the country by the
ocean. Where we are eccentric, make beautiful work,
and potentially become world famous.
Let us get married really early and shock all of our anti-establishment friends.
Let's get married really early and be anti-establishment against being anti-establishment.
We would have an open relationship, so we'd never take each other for granted.
But in the end, never sleep with anyone else.
Love you from the future. Your great love.
Your great love.
Your great love.
The romantic in me wanted the fairy tale, and the anti-establishment in me wanted to overthrow tradition.
Tradition is just another word for the status quo.
And therein was one of many sets of conflicting desires that were at war within me. Another set of conflicting desires was that, in addition to having a great love, I wanted to be a great artist. Someone once told me you can only ever have one or the other in a lifetime. I want both. As soon as I turn 18, I move to the big city to be an artist. Mont-Huron. On the exact border between Ontario and Quebec, between the U.S. and Canada, on the shores of the St. Lawrence River, Lake Ontario, and the Atlantic Ocean, there is a city. Everyone who lives in the city contests whether it's actually an American or a Canadian city, whether it's actually in Ontario or Quebec. There's the official truth, the truth that's on the legal documents, but nobody in the city gives a shit about that. Some identify as Canadians, others as Americans, some as Francophone, others as Anglophone. It has rats and mountains of garbage and a rotting subway system that makes you wait for eternity and smells like vomit and piss. It has streetcars on the streets with fuzzy red seats inside. Fancy brunches are eaten by rich people on Sundays, while poor young people dance on the mountain that the city was built on. Mount Huron.
No, it's pronounced Mont-Huron. Mont-Huron.
No. Mont-Huron.
Hello. Everyone knows that the real Mont-Huronians call it Mont-Huron.
Quite frankly, it's a mess. And from that mess, the best art in the world was created.
Farewell, farewell to Nova Scotia, the sea-bound coast. Let your mountains dark and dreary be. For when I'm far away on the briny ocean tossed, will there ever be a sigh or a wish for me?
I play music in the subway for wine money. I'm in my mermaid getup. The mermaid getup has been a massive success. My first foray into puppetry was inspired by a man I saw playing music in the subway. The man was playing a tiny, weird, brown electric piano. He was wearing a sailor suit and had created a small cardboard boat that he was sitting in. It was a perfect sculpture. It looked just like a boat, but it was made out of cardboard. He had a fishing pole with a top hat on the end of it for people to show their appreciation for his music. It was full. It wasn't what you would ordinarily consider to be puppetry, but the way he created his cardboard universe around him set me down a path of cardboard universes that brought me to Mont-Huron's puppetry scene. There are people who work full-time in their art, and there are people who do not. The people who do not make up the majority of the artists in Mont-Huron. They work side jobs in restaurants, call centers, and massage parlors. People say that it suits their art to work in a restaurant half the time, but I don't believe them. To be a full-time puppeteer is unheard of.
And the three P's of puppetry are pain, poverty, and partial blindness. Because when you're performing, you know, there's the pain of, like, holding a horrible position for extended periods of time. Partial blindness, like, half the time you're inside some sort of giant thing. You can't see what you're doing. You're, you know, you're in a parade and you're going to trip on something or someone's going to throw something at you. And then, yeah, I think the poverty is pretty self-explanatory.
Even puppeteers themselves don't call themselves puppeteers. They call themselves performers. To be a full-time puppeteer, you have to have something figured the fuck out. I am nothing close to a full-time puppeteer. Right now, my puppetry game consists of these 5 cardboard waves I made from a box I found in the garbage, painted gold, my mermaid tail, which is just me squeezed into the single leg of a stocking, and my accordion. When I busk in the subway, I look for the man in the boat. I wonder if he might see me in my mermaid getup and know instantaneously that I created this as an answer to his question of how to be a weirdo in this world.
When I'm far away on the briny ocean tossed, will there ever be a sigh? Fuck. Will there ever be a sigh? Will there ever be a sigh?
I used to make $5 to $10 an hour in the subway playing my accordion, but as the mermaid, I make $20 to $30 an hour. On my way home, I scour the dumpsters for my dinner and materials for my next puppet play. Every year I apply to perform at the More of Everything Puppetry Festival on the East Coast, and every year, they reject me. This year, if they reject me again, I'm planning on paying my own way and performing on the sidewalk, whether they like it or not.
It's almost like you guys are like the shadow of the puppet.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We can do that. Right?
Sure.
I'm volunteering with my mentor's puppet company so I can learn more about the medium and meet people who are working in the industry, if you can call puppetry an industry.
Right. You can hold me a little tighter if you want. Yeah. Yeah. A little tighter. Tighter. Great, great, great.
We're working a larger-than-life-sized puppet.
Moment, center yourselves, like breathe in, inhale.
This is my favorite kind. It takes 2 people to operate.
Okay, one more time, inhale.
I'm the head and the right arm, and this conventionally attractive and conservatively dressed dude is the body and the left arm.
Are you doing okay?
Well, that was just you guys breathing. The puppet, we're not.
Oh, okay.
I just want to make sure like you're here. You just
clink, clink. Yeah, that is it.
This is the Suna, the Baba Ganoush, the Wali, the Oja. Avec le Penan,
juste un, je pense.
Je vais prendre une bière.
Blonde.
The restaurant I work in is named after the Persian philosopher and poet, Rumi.
Bonjour, Rumi.
There's a letter from Leonard Cohen above the bread cutting board. Okay. It's not even framed.
Dear Rumi, I love this restaurant. Love, Leonard.
My boss calls me clink-clink because every shift I break at least 1 glass. I broke a bowl of soup down a woman's back once.
Are you okay?
I broke a tray of glasses full of sangria on a bunch of fancy purse ladies. As a result, my boss only schedules me when the restaurant is empty. The day shift, Tuesday evenings. Which is why I play music in the subway and go dumpster diving for my food.
What do you want to do this weekend?
I think I already told you, like, I'm going away, right?
I'm in a relationship with a total babe who writes me love letters.
Dear Caitlin, I write you love letters and hide them for you to find in places that seem boring.
Which, ever since high school, I've considered to be the highest form of intelligence.
I play guitar for you and write songs about you.
In a moment of idealism, I talk them into being in an open relationship.
Just because you feel jealous doesn't mean that I've done something wrong.
No, but how would you feel if I told you I made out with someone else?
I would feel jealous and I would, like, take a deep breath and think about the pleasure that you felt in that moment and be happy for you.
And now they're going away on a trip to Lunenburg.
Oh. I planned that trip to go see Riz.
Hey, Megan, just calling to say hey. Hope you're having fun. Miss you. Love you. Say hey to Riz.
This is the 3rd message I've left for them this week. I was too proud to tell them that this would be hard for me.
Do you want me to call you every day, or how do you want me to do this? I just want to make sure you feel good about it.
I only want you to call me if you feel like calling me, you know?
Okay, and I don't want you to feel like I'm ignoring you or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, you're okay, right? Like.
Yeah, I'm fine.
And you know I love you. And...
Yeah. My pride will not let me call them again. So I just wait and try to exercise mental discipline. I don't think about it. I don't think about...
Hey, KP.
How's it going?
Riz and I decided to buy a house together and live in it without you.
I love you. I love you.
I don't think about what they might be getting up to.
But what about Caitlin?
I mean, I love KP, but there's just some things she doesn't have
excited
to get
about
out.
Her pursuits in puppetry, but like, where's that going to take her? What's her plan?
My mind tortures me with all of the possibilities.
I mean, she's barely holding this waitress job.
She just can't talk me into
keeping you. I think I'm going to stay here for the next little bit.
You're not coming back?
Caitlin, you're off rhythm.
Of course I'm off rhythm. It's not because I'm heartbroken and can't even do myself the dignity of telling my partner about it.
I love you.
It's because my puppet partner is awkward and has no movement.
I feel like it's like the right and the left side of this puppet is like two completely different operators. So like I need your energy to be like a little bit more the same.
Okay. Charlie.
Okay, so like look at each other. Okay, breathe in. And then out.
I have an innate mistrust of people who are conventionally attractive. I call them magazine hot. I kind of judge them for conforming to a certain kind of beauty standard. Maybe I'm just intimidated by the power that they have in this world that I lack. This guy doesn't have a crescent moon of dirt underneath his fingernails, designer jeans, button-up shirt.
Is it iron? Who irons their shirt? We're in our 20s.
I look down at my own hands and I wonder if I've ever seen my fingernails without the black crust of unknown origin underneath. I wonder if the reason he's so stiff is because he doesn't want to be touching me. Someone's dropping a 5 in. That's a real honor.
Hey, thank you.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's my puppet partner.
Rehearsal guy.
Oh, it's me.
Charlie, right?
Yeah, Charlie.
Yeah.
Caitlin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. What are you doing? You look like you're about to go and collect some checks.
I really don't normally dress like this. This is, I've got a work meeting thing. I guess I'm kind of lucky enough that I actually get to do puppetry, like a full-time thing.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm actually on my way to a meeting about this Henson grant that I've got.
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
Hot dude works full-time in puppetry? What the fuck?
Whoa, holy shit. Are you going to get it?
Oh, I know. I've got it.
Oh, you have it.
The Henson Foundation. Yes. The Jim Henson Foundation of Sesame Street fame is one of the only performance institutions that funds puppetry. Especially experimental puppetry, which is the thing that I'm most interested in.
I think I might have even heard of this
guy on the radio. I would love to, like, hang out and, like, to ask you questions. Could I ask you questions? Maybe after the Becky rehearsal tomorrow, could I, like, maybe I could show you something? I don't know. I know that you probably get that a lot, but...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, tomorrow? Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, my God.
Sorry, I really...
Oh, shit, yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'll see you...
Tomorrow. Yeah, great. I'll sing you out. Okay. Have a good day, and I hope your meeting goes well.
This was the first 15 minutes of The Shadows. You can subscribe for the rest. Right now. Just go do it. It's you just have to click and then it's there. You just, listen to the rest. We worked really hard on this and we're super proud of it. And we hope you like it too. You can follow The Shadows at The Shadows CBC on Instagram. Bye.